$1,000 Traeger Wood Pellet Grill. You'll see a wide range of farm equipment and demonstrations, entertainment, and special interactive sessions with agricultural experts discussing topics that benefit you the most. It's the Garden City Farm and Ranch Show. Get your show details. Just go to GardenCityFarmShow.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No, I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. Really looking forward to talking every day on this show, but sometimes
sometimes it's extra special.
Yeah, Olympian, national champ, Hall of Famer. Well, we're going to have Trev Alberts joining us on the program today. He is the athletic director at UNO, and I think Trev has had so many hats over his life, but today he is the Cedar Rapids, Iowa native, and I'm not even sure, that's not Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Falls,
yeah, I misspoke. Cedar Falls, Iowa native, came to Nebraska, became an All-American, Butkus Award winner, is going to go into the College Football Hall of Fame, and really was a part of Nebraska teams that led up to the national championship team. He was on that final team that lost to Florida State 18-16, the Byron Bennett kick that sailed wide left. But I was listening and reading over some of the things that he's talked about, and obviously he's been a busy man on the circuit since Friday when he was introduced, had the press conference at UNO. He's been on, obviously, a handful of radio shows, and he's going to join us today. But talking about a variety of things, and he was right. When he came to Nebraska, that was when Nebraska had just kind of hit bottom, I guess you would have to say, in the Tom Osborne era.
It was a valley. It certainly was a valley. I don't know about it being bottom, but we looked really bad against Georgia Tech, got thumped at home by Washington. Colorado now was the best team in the Big Eight.
Well, we lost to the two national champions because, remember, they were the co-national champs, but it looked bad.
Oh, it wasn't close.
It didn't go
Neither game was close.
It didn't go well. Huh.
Mike Grant was our quarterback. I mean, come on.
Wasn't he all conference? But anyway, and then Trev, he's hurt. He's playing hurt his senior year. We had Brian Christopherson, a Lincoln Journal star, really kind of document that again when we had him on Friday after the announcement to talk about that and other things. And the way he played down the stretch his senior season, it really limited him in the pros. He's going to go down as an NFL draft bust, because he didn't produce in 3 years, really banged up. He was a high draft pick. The potential
number,
was obvious.
Number five there. Pick only started seven games for the Colts.
Then he goes on television. He's on two or three or four different things, but obviously most of us remember he was on with Mark May for quite a while on ESPN, kind of the second team. And if you read some of the stuff out there, then he just he kind of left.
Yeah.
And then it kind of depends on what side of the story you're on there. But he did mention that Mark May had sent him some congratulatories. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I should just ask Trev this or if I should just bring it up now. But I'm gonna wait. I'm going to wait because I got a bunch of things to ask Trev. Then he moves on and he's the UNO athletic director. And then a lot of people thought, well, maybe he'll take over at Nebraska. In the interim, obviously, with UNK being the Division II school and following this a lot closer than maybe a lot of people would, UNO disbands football, UNO disbands wrestling, and then he kind of gets smeared across Nebraska by especially those folks that were very close to those programs. But now that time has passed, and he is still working. He's still 44 years old. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of career ahead of Trev Alberts.
Yeah, he's got 20-some-odd years of work in front of him, and he's had an interesting 10, 12 years, you know, since he graduated from the University of Nebraska. I mean, it's been an interesting, well, really 20-year span, you know, that he's kind of been going through. He's got a lot of stories. We could be here all day talking to him.
Yeah, so Trev Alberts is scheduled to join us at the bottom of the program. Also, Comedy Clip Day.
It is. I'm hand-selected.
Cunningham's Comedy Clip will give you a chance to win tickets to tomorrow's comedy night going on at Cunningham's. So we'll be talking about that, give you a chance later in the show to chime in on that. But right now it's time for our Loper Lake, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank. The Loper basketball team's getting ready for a four-game homestand, and we're pleased to welcome in the co-ed men's basketball coach. He's the guy that stands on the sideline a lot, Kevin Lofton, for the Loper men. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing okay. Busy time. You just said it. Four home games. Kind of an important stretch that we're in right now. Got to make the most of it. So we're kind of putting together some last-minute prep work for Northeastern Oklahoma. We'll go over that this afternoon or this evening anyway, and come out tomorrow and see what we can do.
You only have seven home games left in the entire season. Four of them are coming up in the next week or so. How important is it for you guys to have that nice little boost here since you're going to be at home for, you know, really not that many trips left?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
I'm sorry.
It's a way to put a damper on a good day.
I don't
so
want
far.
To start
Appreciate
with a bummer.
That.
We can come back to this.
You just said it. I mean, it's you got to protect your home court in this league, and you know, with four games in a row, you got to make the most of them, because you know you're going to places like Hayes, Kansas, Emporia, Washburn, to Central Oklahoma, to Northeastern Oklahoma. Those are going to be tough games, so we definitely got to make the most of the home stand we have right now.
Talk with Kevin Lofton, co-ed men's basketball coach. You came right out of the New Year's break, and you guys always plan the extended break to refresh everybody's batteries a little bit. You start off with the defending national champs, ranked 8th Central Missouri, play one of the more exciting games that we've had in the Health and Sports Center in recent memory. So everybody's feeling good, but then you have to come back and play on Monday. And I can only imagine what's going through you and Coach Kropp's head. You've seen it way too many times in sports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it happened. You stub your toe, don't shoot the ball well, and you're still there. You got a chance, but can't finish in an overtime. Back it up by going to a very good Northwest Missouri State team that blows the doors off of you. So all of a sudden, all the euphoria is kind of gone. So take me through that stretch here the last 2 weeks.
You really want me to relive that?
Well, it's the high.
Well, the Central Missouri game is pretty easy to relive. I thought our kids came out and gave a tremendous defensive effort. Things wasn't great. We weren't as sharp as we wanted to be offensively. We found ways to score, and we found a way to beat a really good team at home, and that's what you got to do if you want to have a good home record, or not just home record, a good season, period. You described to a T what happened the next game against Missouri Western. Some people call it a trap game, where we spent so much emotion and energy, you know, trying to hold off and to win the game against Central Missouri, that we came back the next game out and didn't play that well. You know, we turned it over quite a bit, had some breakdowns late on the defensive end of the floor, and it cost us. We couldn't pull out a close one, and you know that's just the way that fell. We wish you could have it back. Like to see it go a different way, but it didn't happen. And then we went to Northwest Missouri, and they just, you know, a really good team playing at a high level, and we did not play well. It was not our finest hour, and the score reflected that. And, you know, we've come back since then and had, we gave them Friday, Saturday off. We came back and practiced on Sunday. It was sluggish. We usually are a little sluggish after a couple of days off, but we got through it. Monday was a lot better. Last night was pretty good, and hopefully we can keep building. You know, we got 13 games left. Last year, I think we went 10 out of our last 13. So I'm not saying we're going to do that this year. It would be nice, but, you know, a lot of season left to play. Can't really do anything about the 13 that's already been played, but these ones that we got left, starting with the one on Wednesday night, are really important to us.
Kevin, you kind of mentioned being up and down a little bit. Is that kind of a natural extension of the fact that you really only have two seniors on the entire roster, and they're not major contributors? So, in other words, you're a very young team. Is that up and down kind of accentuated a little bit more because you are a young team?
I think it's a part of it. I mean, you got to realize we have four freshmen in your top eight, and you know I have to constantly pull myself aside and kind of have, you know, kind of just remind myself that, hey, they're freshmen. You got to show them film. You got to be positive. You got to try to speak greatness into them. And there are going to be times that they get their dauber down. If you look at our record and look back at how the season has gone, this is the first time all year that we're coming off of back-to-back losses. Up until this point, it's been you lose one, you win four. You lose one, you win two. You lose another one, you win two. Now we're coming off back-to-back losses, so I think we're at a fragile time, to be honest, to a certain extent, but we are at home. I think, you know, if we could just come out and have a good showing and have some kids have some success and get back to getting the confidence that we had a little bit earlier in the year, I think we'll be fine.
Kevin Lofton joining us here on our Loper Link on the Doug and Daddy Show. Give us your scouting report, because you've got two different looking teams, Northeastern State toward the bottom of the conference, Central Oklahoma towards the top.
Honestly, I can give you the one on Northeastern the best, because that's the next one, and that's what I put all my time and energy. I don't really look at their record, because what we found out the hard way, not the hard way, but we did find out the hard way with a young team. You look at what Missouri Western came in and did to us. I mean, there's not, you know, Northeastern, even though their record is 3-11, that doesn't matter. You still got to play the game. And they're undersized. You know, they've lost one of their leading scorers. He hadn't played in the last five games. So, you know, that's hurt them. But they're going to play a lot of zone. They on film, if you watch them, they play a lot of 2-3 zone. They will play man-to-man, you know, especially if you're doing well against their zone. But you're going to see a lot of zone. They like to kind of get up and down. Obviously, they're undersized, and when they can get it in transition, they want to do that. What we have to do is really, it starts on the defensive end of the floor. We have to do a good job of, I think, protecting the paint, because they're undersized. They're going to look to attack the basket, and we need to be ready, you know, to give help when that's needed. Also, I think, you know, when you play a team and you start talking about how can you be upset, you don't want to put them on the free throw line. You don't want to give up a lot of uncontested three-point shots. You don't want to give a lot of offensive rebounds for putbacks, hustle plays, and things like that, where you play good defense for 30 seconds, and then all of a sudden the shot goes up and someone doesn't check out. Now someone on their team is out hustling us to get an offensive rebound, put it back for a layup, or get fouled and go to the free throw line. You got to avoid those situations and just play solid, fundamentally sound basketball and hope that carries you through.
Coach, you've been led by a couple of juniors all year, Ethan and Connor, obviously, in terms of rebounding and scoring all year. Are we kind of seeing some of the growth of some of those freshmen? I mean, Ty's played pretty well. Isaiah was one of your leading scorers the other night against Northwest Missouri. How is the growth of those younger kids?
They're coming along. I think the big thing is this, and I had Isaiah in the gym this morning. I know, you know, he's a kid that he's a gym rat and he wants to do well. He's kind of perfectionist, and sometimes that works against him. But I said, hey, it's your freshman year. I said, the most important thing about this year is developing good habits. And basketball, good habits to us as coaches is the fundamentals. If we can get them to buy into the fundamentals and get rid of bad habits and embrace the new ones, that's a huge step forward. And you hope through doing that process, as the year goes on, they make leaps, or they make steps forward, or jumps, or leaps, or however you want to look at it. Leaps are good for me, because that means we're going to get better and win more. But that's the process. And you know, that's what I have to remind myself as a coach on, you know, when you're dealing with freshmen, hey, it's a process. If you can, I'll never forget it. 20 years ago, Claire Boroff one time pulled me aside, Coach Boroff, the old UNK football coach when I was here as a GA, and he said, hey, how are things going, Coach Loft? And I said, well, Coach, I don't know. Sometimes I'm just scratching my head. He says, hey, when you look at the film, can you see things that you've been teaching these guys? Can you see that they're starting to get it and you're seeing it as you watch the film? And I said, you know what? You're right. I can see some of the things we're teaching every day in practice. He says, well, you're on the right track if you can see that. And as you know, after every game, I look at things from a defensive perspective, also an offensive perspective. And if I can see the things we're preaching every day in practice, then that's the step in the right direction when you're dealing with freshmen.
Last minute here with Kevin Lofton, co-ed men's basketball coach, UNK. They'll be home against Northeastern State Thursday, Central Oklahoma Saturday, 7:30 for the men, 5:30 for the women. Coach, I'm going to point out one kid in Trey Landsman here for you. He is getting a good amount of points in obviously coming off the bench. Could you just talk about his development and what you're seeing from him?
Trey, actually, he's been inserted into the starting lineups in the last couple games. You know, he's a freshman from Harlan, Iowa. He goes all of 6'7". He's got a really good IQ. I mean, that, and he moves really well for a kid of that size. I think he's getting more confident with things he's doing as far as around the basket. Shooting-wise, he still isn't up to where he was as when he was in high school. At Harlan, or a lot of times you get these kids that are used to taking any and every shot when they're in high school. I mean, no shot's a bad shot. And then you have to put them together with what you have existing in your program, and it's kind of a learning curve. And I think a lot of times with guys like Trey, when they're used to taking four or five threes, and if they miss that fourth one, they can take three or four more, you're going to have more confidence versus when you're in a group and you're playing with Connor and Ethan and other kids and you got to share the ball a little bit more. It could take a while to get that confidence, that swagger when it comes to the jump shot. I think that's the only thing that he hasn't done that we expected him to do to this point. But we love him. Great kid, great attitude, great work ethic, really good in the classroom. And I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. We're pleased with him.
Coach, you have a slight edge in rebounding, but you also are failing. You know, you're behind a little bit the curveball in terms of turnovers. Which one of those numbers concerns you? Is there a concern with those numbers? I mean, obviously you like both of them to be better, but is there one that stands out in your mind?
Obviously, it's got to be the turnovers. If you rewind back into the Missouri Western game, if we just turn it over five less times, we probably win that game. Going away a little bit. That's the thing. You got to get a shot every time. When we recruit kids, our main emphasis is we're trying to find guys that can score the basketball. We figure, knowing Coach Kropp, he wants to score that thing. We can teach him defense later. That's his approach. So, hey, Kevin, what's their shot look like? How many shots? How many points are they averaging? Okay, that's good. Let's get them. I mean, that's kind of how he rolls. So, offensively, to be good offensively, you got to get a shot every time. If you can get a shot every time, we got enough guys that are fundamentally sound, that are skilled enough offensively that we're going to put points up. If you go to the Missouri Western game, when you turn it over as many times as we did, you really handcuff yourself. You put a lot of pressure on the defensive end of the floor. And we responded for the most part. I think we held them to 67 points in regulation. But, if you continue to turn it over, it's going to be hard to pull a game out like that. So you ask the question, which concerns us more? It's turnovers, because turnovers take shot opportunities away from our better scorers.
Well, Kevin, we'll see if we can get 3 and 4 wins here during this stretch and keep things going in the right direction. We'll let you get back to
work. Easy as you make it sound.
Oh, no problem, brother.
Oh, yeah. You sound like Joey Cochran and Dusty Dura. Hey, just ring it up. You're going on the road playing against Northwest Missouri, no problem. Just mark it down.
They don't know what's going to hit them. They don't know.
Oh, yeah, I know. No, we'll do it. We got a good group, guys. We like them, and they play hard, and I think the people that have come out to watch them enjoy them, and hopefully we can keep getting better, keep moving forward.
I think more people are starting to come watch a little Loper basketball, so 2 weekends a chance to do it here, and Coach, we'll let you get back to work. Best of luck.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Kevin Lofton, UNK co-ed men's basketball coach, here as part of our Loper link. Again, Thursday, Saturday, home games, Northeastern State, Central Oklahoma. Women, even tougher, because Northeastern's 8-6, 4-3 in the conference, 13-3, 6-1 for Central Oklahoma. For the men, Northeastern's 3-11, 1-6. Central Oklahoma's 12-4 overall, 5-2 in the conference. Wrestling team is actually home tonight for a duel with York. That gets underway at 6. Then they'll host the second annual Midwest Duels, and that's going out at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Saturday beginning at 9 a.m. The Lopers will have 4 duels, 2 against top 20 teams. There's also high school action out there. Amherst and Kearney are among the 6 teams that will be competing there. The track team will head to the Holiday Inn Invitational indoor track in Lincoln this weekend. Some are headed to Crete, and the women's swimming team will be competing in Grinnell, Iowa coming up this weekend. Also, in other Loper news from the wrestling, they did go 0-4 out at Virginia, but Devin Aguirre was the bright spot there as he went 3-1. In those duels for the Loper wrestling team.
I couldn't agree with Coach anymore when he talked about the loss against Missouri Western. I mean, turnovers really were kind of thing there. And I'm looking at the numbers here in front of me, and I thought this was interesting. UNK, their home games, they play in front of an average of a little bit over 1,500 people. Their away games, there's only 664 on average in the stands. So twice as many people are showing up for UNK games than these games on the road. And they're playing, against some pretty good teams on the road, and yet UNK tends to show up twice as much as what those visiting schools do, those other schools do, which I think is kind of interesting. I think it points out how how big basketball is in Kearney and for UNK. It is a basketball school, and it is, and I think they're heading in the right direction. They're very young. They're going to be very, very good by the end of business next year. You know, obviously they want to make some hay this year, but next year, boy, those freshmen getting a little bit bigger and stronger, they're going to be good.
Also, senior offensive lineman Cole Manhart, one of 10 Division II players playing in the NFL Player Association's Collegiate Bowl this Saturday, 3 o'clock in Carson, California on ESPN2. You can even watch Cole Manhart practice. Big 64, it's on ESPNU, starting today at noon for a couple of hours, and tomorrow for a couple of hours, starting at 11:30. And Nebraska linebacker Zaire Anderson is on his team. He's on the national team. Some other players from Pittsburgh State, Stanford, that are on his squad. He'll be coached by Mike Martz. Former coach Mike Holmgren will have the American team. So that is our Loper Lake, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. A lot more to get to. College Football Hall of Famer Trev Alberts will join us in just a few minutes. Keep it here.
When we buy something, we all want a great deal. But have you ever thought about a great deal on your home energy bill? A geothermal system from Carrier is a great deal. A geothermal system taps into the earth to capture free, renewable energy. About 45% of your energy bill goes to heating and cooling. You can save up to half in cooling, 70% in heating, and another 30 to 50% in hot water costs. Call Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating today to start saving with a geothermal system from Carrier.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies today, a west breeze 5 to 10 with highs in the mid-30s. Then tonight, mostly clear with a west wind 5 to 15 with lows in the mid-teens. Thursday, sunny and middle 40s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
Whoa, amber is the color of your energy. Whoa,
Nugget Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, with two locations and over 550 vehicles to choose from. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC is sure to have the vehicle you are searching for. Stop by and see them on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or visit them online at thinkmidway.com to start your one-stop shopping experience today. Many great deals as the first of the year has rolled around, and they are ready to get 2015 off on the right foot. Follow them on Twitter, like them on Facebook, but most importantly, do your business with the Midway Auto Dealership, taking care of all of the area for a number of years, continuing to expand and making their customers happy and taking care of the area as well with some of their charitable work. Midway, think Midway. TrevAlberts.com. It's a better way. Trev Alberts is scheduled to join us here in just a little bit. We'll also have our Cunningham's Comedy Spot. The winner will receive two tickets to the comedy show Thursday night at Cunningham's Journal.
Yeah, they actually perform around 7:30. They start sitting around 6 o'clock, and then they'll serve dinner around 6:30. And these are a couple of tickets for the show itself.
So Nate Ford and Brendan O'Day are going to be the comedians this weekend. What we're going to do a little bit is play an audio cut from a movie or a comedy routine or a TV show. And to get entered into the drawing, call or next or text, we're going to give you a number here, and then just give us a reference. Who said the line? Who's the character? What movie's it from? And then we will pick at random from our entries today. And when you text in or call in, give us your name and phone number. That way, after the show, about an hour after, we'll give you about an hour to get registered. We'll draw a winner out, and then that way we can get a hold of you. That way you're not texting while you're driving.
Right, right. We want to keep you safe. I mean, it's all about having fun. We don't want to have an accident or anything.
The Cunningham's Comedy Line, 308-646-0506. 308-646-0506. Enjoy Comedy Night at Cunningham's Journal every Thursday with two shows. They start dinner at 6. The show's at 7:30. Another one at 10:30. This week it's Nate Ford and Brendan O'Day. Here is this week's comedy clip.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Well, that's not nice.
Is there someone else up there we could talk to?
No. Now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
What a strange person.
What is that from? Who is it? All you have to do is call or text our Cunningham's Comedy Line. Different than the normal line. It's 308-646-0506. 308-646-0506. And then we'll contact the winner by the end of the day so that they can get their two tickets.
And that phone number, by the way, is also on our Facebook page. And we tweeted it out earlier today, too. So it's there if you just check your stuff. So it's all available.
Perfect.
Trying to make it easy. Trying to make it as easy as possible. We went last week, and it was a great time. Highly recommend it.
There you go. Well, fun times out there. And we've got a lot of emails that we want to get to here. If you'd like to email the program, a lot to do with coaching, Tim Beck, some of the new NFL coaches. So we're going to get to all of that. Email the Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. And, of course, you can always give us a buzz on the Carney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. Well, it's always cool, Randy Bushcutter, to have Huskers or Lopers or, in this case, Mavericks, make it into the Hall of Fame and have a lot of good things to talk about. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Pleased to be joined by one of the newest members of the 2015 College Football Hall of Fame, the current athletic director at UNO, and Trev Alberts joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Trev, congratulations, and thanks for the time here in Kearney.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words, and it's a pleasure to join you guys.
I know you've been making the media tour. You've been asked a lot of questions, and I've tried to look back over some of these, and I've got a ton written in front of us that an hour program could take care of, but we won't keep you at that point. But you've had a little time now to digest the honor here and what will be in front of you. And we joke, it's not until December that the banquet is, so you're going to have a whole year of people bringing this up and honors like that. But now that it's starting to sink in, what are a couple more of the items that have been running through your head?
Well, I'll tell you, the interesting, my children, I was telling them about it, and they're a little bit older now, and they were pretty excited. My 11-year-old daughter said, "Really, Dad, we get to go to New York?" I said, "Yeah," and she goes, "When are we going?" And I said, "December 8th. And she looked at me like, "That's like forever, you know." Moving on. But I think probably, guys, for me, the thing that was really most rewarding of the whole deal was just how many people that I got to sort of reconnect with. You know, you never, it's tough. Coaches move on, move around the country, and teammates, and all the techs, and great memories kind of come back. And so I think after the announcement, the initial sort of shock and enjoyment, I think it's just been really, really fun to to spend some time reminiscing with some former teammates and coaches and thank them and reconnect in that kind of way. So that's really been great.
Has some of that reconnection been kind of to who you kind of see as a mentor, and who would that be? Because I'm thinking back, the last great linebacker we had before you was Broderick Thomas, and I'm trying to picture you being under Broderick Thomas's wing, and the thought of that does bring a chuckle to my mind.
Well, I've been talking quite a bit with Coach Samuel. You know, Coach Samuel had quite a run there where I think Broderick kind of started the run for him. He was a young defensive ends coach, and you know, we had Mike Kroll and Jeff Mills and Travis Hill, and he coached myself and Grant Wistrom, and I mean all these, Jared Tomich, Dante Jones, Dwayne Harris. I'm going to miss, you know, but there's so many players that he impacted their lives, and in fact even suggested that I'll never forget being a young player and Coach Samuel talking to Broderick and introduced me to Broderick and said, you know, Broderick, he's got a chance now. He's got a chance. And I remember Broderick looking at me because I'm not all that physically imposing, and him kind of looking to himself, really? I'm the Sandman, and this guy's going to come in here and eventually do good things. So, but, yeah, it was just part of the, quote, lineage, if you will. And Coach Samuel actually even texted me and said that Broderick was going to reach out to you. So, yeah, you know, it's I think Broderick really started the tradition, you know, and elevated that defensive end position, and I think he to this day takes great pride in the guys that have played that position, and so kind of a special, quote, fraternity within the black shirt defense and all that.
Trev Alberts joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. You kind of touch on what my next question was. You're nearly 20 years out of playing football. You've had a lot of hats in between then. All those athletes that are running through the halls, do they just say, well, you don't look like much, Trev? you know, these kids that are in college now don't have a recollection of you playing.
Well, if you're bringing up the fact that I'm getting pretty old, yeah, it is very true. They probably look at me the same way that Boyd Epley looked at me in 1989 when I strolled in from Cedar Falls, Iowa, from a real small school, and we didn't even have a weight room, and I know we went through that line, and you had to they were sort of checking us in that freshman year, and you tell them what position you were playing and where you're from, And I remember telling him the position. I was 6'4", about 208 pounds. And I remember him looking at me, and he probably was thinking to himself, holy cow, I've got my work cut out with this little guy. But, you know, it's just that was a great thing about the university. I mean, it had great people and facilities and programs in place that really developed us. And you know, if you put in the work academically or even athletically, you know, they had a plan and a purpose and a program for it, and you could really grow within that. And I certainly benefited from wonderful people who were totally focused on our development and with great coaches. And so you can take a little guy out of Iowa and turn him into something. So it was a real blessing and an honor to get to be a part of that.
Trev, when you showed up on campus and was that little guy from Iowa, the program was kind of at a lower valley within the time that Coach Osborne was there. You know, some tough losses during the span that you were there, hate to bring it up, went 0-4 in bowl games, but were a play away from winning the national championship when you walked away from the field. Talk about that time period, what the mood around Nebraska football was like, and the legacy that you feel you left behind.
Well, I would just say, you know, I look back now, I didn't know it at the time, but when you look back now, because we were living it, we were probably too close to it, but I really felt like I had a great chance to be a part of, you know, and it certainly wasn't me, I mean, it was Coach and his staff, and it was a recommitment towards changing some things, and, you know, we actually participated in the slow, methodical growth towards what ultimately happened the following 2 years after our class left. But you're right. You know, in 1989, I think my first year when I redshirted, went out to the Fiesta Bowl, played Florida State, and it wasn't very close. The next year, I was a redshirt freshman. We played Georgia Tech and the Citrus Bowl, and they were co-national champions that year. And frankly, it wasn't very close. So, unfortunately, you know, based on how the bowls were slotted, you know, we ultimately played, if not the number one, one of the top five teams in the country in a bowl game every year. So, Although we did lose those games, we were playing great opponents, and it really helped us define where our deficiencies were. And so, you know, some of the speed deficiencies and some of the more modernization in how we approached playing defense and maybe even offense a little bit. But, you know, but the tough thing is in the Big Eight, you've got a group of teams that ran a certain type of offense. So to get to the national championship game, you had to be able to stop an offense like in Oklahoma that was a little bit different than what you'd see down in the bowl game. So we slowly, methodically got better. I think recruiting, more targeted and focused recruiting, and a recommitment from everybody in terms of unity and working together, understanding, defining your role. So that was really great to be a part of that. And wish we would have had a chance at a national championship, but I think our class feels good about what we accomplished. Coach used to always try to help us to sort of max out, you know, max out in the classroom, max out in the weight room, really, you know, try to get the most out of whatever God-given talent you have. And they developed us through that, and I think we felt good about what we accomplished, and certainly felt like we had been good stewards of our time. And ultimately, those young men that followed us took it to a whole new level, and we were just, as a former player, it's great to see those guys take it to another level.
College Football Hall of Famer Trev Alberts, UNO Athletic Director, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Randy Bushcutter, we've been doing this show, Randy, for over a decade. And you know what? I don't know that I've ever asked this question or had a player on that was significant at the time. I've got to ask you, Trev, at what point did you talk to Byron Bennett again?
Byron's a good guy. You know, he got put in a tough position. We were actually roommates in college, and you know, unfortunately, this is prior to social media, but there was still a negative and tough interaction with players on the team. They would just call your house or call your apartment, and you know, back in those days, we had an answering machine. So Byron took a few difficult calls, and I've talked to Byron. He's a great man. He's coaching high school football in Texas and doing very, very well. But you know, that's a position that I don't think a lot of people would want to find themselves in with that kind of pressure. And Byron won a few games for us and was a great teammate. And unfortunately, found himself in a situation where one or two things were going to happen, you know, and didn't work out that way. But it's a team game. We didn't lose the game because of a missed kick. There were some other areas within the team and within the game that we could have done some things. You know, I reminded everybody that the defense had a real opportunity to stop Florida State on that drive.
Well, we all know it was the officiating, Trev. I mean, that's what Nebraska fans have said for years. We all...
Can I talk about that now that it's 20 years later, or do I still get in trouble if I talk about officiating?
I think you talk about college football officiating all you want.
Trev Alberts with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I've always told Husker fans, especially for me, it almost made the next year sweeter because I don't think Nebraska fan was truly ready with that 17.5 point spread to win that night. They were ready the next year to celebrate and win that night. Trev, I want to change directions just a little bit here because you've brought this up in every interview that I've listened to here in the last few days and some of your comments. You talk about the switch that the defense made and the 5-2 to the 4-3 and how that maybe totally changed your senior season and your career there at Nebraska. Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the fact is, before we all get too crazy patting ourselves on the back about how great we were, oftentimes in life, as you know, timing is everything, and you have to take advantage of opportunities, obviously. But I, Coach Samuel, we ran the 5-2, an odd front, I was a decent player, I was probably an all-conference player, but I wasn't you know, a guy that was going to win the Butkus Award or be All-American or certainly be inducted into any kind of Hall of Fame. But, you know, really benefited that was much more natural to the 4-3, much more natural to getting pressure on the quarterback and sort of just playing more. So that's that. You know, I benefited greatly from that. And ultimately, had we not gone to the 4-3, I'm not sure we'd be probably having this conversation today. If we did, it would probably be with a different topic.
Well, unfortunately, you had that injury, and I think it was against Oklahoma in which you hurt your arm. Talk about that injury. Talk about the kind of the rehab that you kind of went through and just kind of how that slowed things down. And if that injury occurred today, would medical science have treaty deal a little bit better?
I haven't really thought about that. It's an interesting question. We were playing Oklahoma. There's a lot of emotion, a lot on the line. That year we were trying to stay undefeated, and I think there was some talk about Florida State, Notre Dame. Fortunately for us, Boston College had knocked off Notre Dame, ironically, with a field goal late, and so we were. There was a lot of national narrative about, well, Nebraska's really not, one of the top teams. They're staying undefeated, but maybe didn't have the schedule. We had a couple of close calls, UCLA and Kansas. And so, but a lot of emotion, last home game, the whole family, every bit of it, the experience, it's all. And then early in the game, it was a cold game. It was a raw game. It was one of those, sort of sleeting out. The field was a little bit, we didn't have field turf then. And so it was a little bit trickier when you had some of the inclement weather in terms of your footing. And, I don't remember the play exactly, but I slipped, and as I was going down, the Oklahoma player, jumped on, and I don't know if it was his weight, but ultimately my elbow just went and dislocated, I don't think it was really a cheap shot. I think it was Oklahoma wasn't a cheap shot sort of team. It was always a physical game. We respected one another, and there wasn't a lot of talking going on. So none of that had happened prior to it. So I think it was just a physical football play that ultimately my arm couldn't handle. And was my first real major injury. I went back to the locker room and recognized that, I was going to be done at least for the day. And it was significant enough that they had to put it into a cast to stabilize it. In fact, they had to put my arm back in place on the sideline, which I remember is the most excruciating pain I'd ever had. And then Dr. Clare, after he had snapped it back into place, asked if I could move my fingers, and I was fine. And I asked him later, "So why did you ask me if I could move my fingers?" And he said, "Well, occasionally when you put an elbow back into place, there's nerves, and if those got damaged in any way, you can have some." So, well, thank you, Doc. Yeah. Thanks for helping me out. So, yeah, it was just one of those deals, and fortunately, I was able to get the cast off and have a chance to put a brace on that allowed me to play in the game.
Well, we have hit the home stretch here, just a minute left or so. A couple questions here for Trev Alberts, UNO Athletic Director, going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Every once in a while, one of our ex-Husker analysts who co-hosts on the show is Monty Kratzenstein. He says, "Give Trev my best, 100% class, one of the nicest guys I ever played with." Now, is he blowing this out of proportion?
No, he's really not. Monty, well, he's blowing it out of proportion about me, but Monty was a good guy. I'll tell you, one of my real struggles early on was as a redshirt freshman, you're on the scout team and you really have to hang in there. I mean, a lot of guys end up transferring or quitting because of that experience. And, Monty was one of the good guys. He practiced hard. He was a pretty talented holder like the rest of the tight ends. He threw me to the ground with class, if you want to put it that way. In all honesty, he did encourage me. He was a very positive guy, and so he did his job. He played hard at the same time. He wasn't obnoxious about it, and I told him that. I always respected that and thanked him for it. So he's a good guy, and sort of representative of what Nebraska football is about.
Our listeners have a couple of questions. Obviously, this one comes up a lot. This comes from Rusty. We're talking about the guys you played with. Who's the best guy you played against?
Well, I remember when Lawrence Phillips, in practice, when he was right, and what I mean by right is just, both physically, he had a couple injuries, but when he was fully healthy, he was about 6'2", 220 pounds of raw speed, power, and athleticism, and he was very, very difficult. For me in practice, from an offensive lineman perspective, just the sheer determination and effort of those guys, Jake Young and Bill Bobora and Jimmy Wanick and, Jim Scott, a lot of them were Nebraska guys. Some of them were walk-ons. Just the effort that they played with, the technique. Will Shields was probably just the most gifted guy. I mean, he had such great balance and athleticism for a big guy. But I, you know, I, the fullbacks at Nebraska, you know, I mean, Corey Schlesinger, I mean, boy, it got really tiring running into those guys the other day. And we used to, you know, the best, people always ask me, the best player I ever played, I mean, they were always our own team. We, the hardest guys to play against, and that's why we were so good, is that, you know, we practiced against each other, and it was a war. We never ran into people like that. We'd get down with 25 play scrimmages, and I used to tell the other guys on defense, man, aren't you glad we don't have to play against these guys for four quarters? You know, it got old, how physical they were and how hard they played, and it was play after play after play, and they just wore you down. And so it was my own teammates. You know, I played against Leon Searcy and the guy at UCLA, Jonathan Ogden, was a great player. He was only a sophomore when I played against him, but I had a great privilege of playing against some good ones. Charlie Ward was pretty special. Ward Dunn, a great player as well, but I'd put the Nebraska players up there against anybody.
Got to ask you about post-football life here. I know you watched the national championship game, but did you watch the pregame and the Jimmy Kimmel tweet segment? Because I'm wondering if that tweet to Mark May came from you.
No. To be honest, Mark May is a good guy. He really is. He's a good guy, and he was a heck of a football player. Mark and I got along well. You know, a lot of that, you got to remember now, television is entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a component to that. I heard from both Reese and Mark. I'll see them out in New York, and there's elements to that, quote, camaraderie that I miss. And then with social media today, there's other elements that I'm pretty glad that I'm not part of that anymore. But they're good guys, but I can assure you that I did not send any negative tweet towards Mark May.
No Kimmel mean tweets. That's good.
And I thought it was actually a pretty unique and a funny way to go about it. And Kimmel's the right guy to do it.
Absolutely. Hey, what I kind of remember, if I remember this correctly, you grew up in a household that did not have television, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, my dad just felt like he was running the Cedar Falls Utilities, and then we were part-time farmers, and so we really didn't have a lot of time to do that. But we did not have a television. My senior year, I did purchase one. I think it was my dad who said, "You know, you're never here." And I said, "Well, geez, Dad, I really like watching football and basketball." And so I go over to my buddy's house, and he goes, I said, "Well, we'd be here more often if we had a TV." And I said, "Yeah." So we got a TV. But we just didn't. I didn't get exposed to a lot of that stuff. I suppose some of that's good, some of it's bad. But we listened to the radio. I grew
that a boy,
up listening to WHO radio and Jim Zobel. And I will tell you that I think television's great, but I think you miss something about radio because it forces you to, you create your own, you know, sort of vision of what's actually happening out there. And I love today. I listen to the national championship game on the radio, listen to Tirico and Blackledge. I like to listen to the radio. I guess maybe that's just because of how I was raised.
Well, there you go. That's
so you guys, people ought to listen to you guys more often.
Well, some of the things we say, but yeah, we'll use that bit.
Well, we can't argue with it. We can't argue with that.
Yeah, I appreciate the vote of confidence. I listened to your entire interview with Michael Severe from earlier in the week, so I want to get out of here with this. It's a business question. Trev Alberts, athletic director at UNO. You took a lot of crap over the decision that happened with wrestling and football, and obviously with UNK, a co-division two at the time, coming into the MIAA. Time has now passed. Just could you share with us your assessment of how things have went?
Well, you know, it hasn't been perfect. And I know that I certainly haven't been, or we weren't perfect in some of our, quote, execution, if you will. But we learned a lot, and I think at the end of the day, the reality is where UNO is as an institution in a metropolitan area, it was absolutely the right decision. And although it wasn't easy, and we sure wish we had football and wrestling, we just physically couldn't do what we needed to do to be successful and to deliver the type of excellence from a fiscal perspective that the university was demanding. And so, you know, every community is different. At the end of the day, it wasn't fun, wasn't easy, but I'm really proud of our coaches. We're in our last year here. This summer we'll likely be named full Division I member, so we'll get those benefits. And, it's been a quick 4 years. Our coaches and staff and students have been much more successful than I anticipated in terms of the actual field and competition. They've been great in the classroom. It's allowed our university to move forward. We had some pretty difficult days. I think we'd had 17 ADs in 30 years, and we just had to make a couple tough decisions and get that behind us. So we'll see where it goes in terms of we've got our, some solid footing now, and as we move forward, you never know what happens down the road. But right now we're better positioned. I think we're serving our 275 student athletes very well.
Trev, thanks for the extended chat here. Hopefully we can do it again a little bit more often, but I know it's going to be a great year as you get ready for the banquet in December, and you deserve it all. So thanks for giving us the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Trev.
You
Trev too. Alberts.
Congratulations.
Here's the deal with Trev Alberts. Never heard a bad thing except on this whole business
the decision of
the football. And those weren't. You can't even really take, that's not the man. That's just the decision. A great job. Great to talk to Trev Alberts here today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Deserving. I heard him say in one of his previous interviews, even he said he was a little surprised that he went ahead of Eric Crouch, and he wasn't sure that he was ever going to get this call because he had been on the ballot for a while. And I mentioned I was a little surprised as well, not that he didn't have the credentials to get in,
right,
but that he got in ahead of Crouch. And he has... And I think he's truly humble by the honor. Sometimes you got to paint the face on.
Right.
I think you can watch some of it. You can listen to it. I think he's truly humbled.
I absolutely. Again, if you're a two-time Heisman Trophy winner, you know that phone call is coming. All right. Archie Griffin knew that phone call was coming. With Trev Alberts, I don't want to say he was borderline Hall of Famer because really there is no, if you're that good, you're that good. But boy, he was special on the football field. He absolutely was. And again, I think what adds to his resume and what makes him so impressive is he had two sacks against Charlie Ward, who was sacked only five times the entire season. He sacked him twice, one-handed, one-armed, because that other arm was immobile. If he was full strength for that game, hadn't been hurt against Oklahoma, I think Nebraska wins one more national championship. I think they win that game.
Let's take a call here on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. Jim is standing by. Jim, good morning. What's up?
Well, sirs, in all due respect, I'm a big fan of Trev Alberts. I love him a lot. He's a great Husker player, but he commented that they didn't have enough of what it took to make the programs of wrestling and football successful. Wrestling already was coming off multiple state champion or national titles.
Right.
So I don't know. I think he was a little disingenuous on that for sure. I don't know about football because they were marginally good, but the wrestling program at UNO was national championships. So I'm a little disappointed in his comment relative to that because I think it's a little disingenuous. He wasn't really shooting straight with us on that part. But I did enjoy the interview this morning and a lot of behind the scenes stuff. That was my only comment. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. I think Jim is on the wrestling side. I don't think wrestlers will ever forgive UNO.
No, no.
No matter what is said, no matter what happens, I don't think wrestlers.
And how it
will
was done
forgive.
Was extra painful. Yeah.
It was not done right. Trev did say that we didn't do it right. But it is. I don't know. I'm in this point now because I love covering wrestling, and I think. I don't even know if this is the right. It's kind of time to let it go. My blame is, this is a whole other show. My blame is on the Title IX. My blame, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't have women's athletics. See, this is just going to open up a whole Pandora's box of stuff here. If that's what they decided, I am not a hockey fan. Most of Nebraskans aren't hockey fans. I think that's especially outside of Omaha where this comes down to. How in the world can you keep hockey and get rid of the great sport of football along with a national championship sport of wrestling? I think that's what it grinds the gears of.
The answer's in your wallet. The answer's in your wallet. Hockey is a revenue sport. It makes money for the university. I think the biggest issue that they ran into when they were trying to make that transition from Division II to Division I was resources and the amount of money. And yes, they were outstanding in wrestling. But if you're going to elevate your program for basketball, for baseball, for softball, for volleyball, everything that you want to do, you have limited resources. And I think those two other programs, which neither one of which generated money, UNL football did not make money because the Huskers throw too long of a shadow. It was not a revenue sport. And maybe Title IX is a factor in that because women's athletics don't tend to make money as well. So it's associated with that. But I think it's dollars and cents. The answer why they couldn't do that is in your wallet.
I'm going to tie this in. Well, it was bad timing. And, yes, they had all that success. And every person that had something to do with it did a great job. You know, Nebraska had a 9-10, 9-win football team and got rid of their coach. So I'm going to make that tie-in right there. Winning doesn't always mean...
Well...
And it's amazing. It is amazing. Winning should mean good things, but for some reason it did. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll do so and be right back.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
The first day, I couldn't even finish my push-ups.
Sarah Brunner is another CrossFit Archway success story.
They modified it to make it easier for me as a beginner. Every person that goes there cares that other people are there and really wants everyone to succeed. They're very encouraging. You feel kind of like a little family there. And a couple weeks ago, I realized I did 90 push-ups. I can do it now.
We're on Antelope Avenue in Kearney, or find us at CrossFitArchway.com.
I don't want people to be intimidated to try it. It's for everybody.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky guys are in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
See the latest trends in home building and home furnishings at the 32nd Annual Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Leading home builders, home improvement businesses, and decorators will be sharing ideas at the Buffalo County Expo Center. January 23rd, 1 till 7, the 24th, 10 till 7, and the 25th, 11 till 5. Admission is $3 per person, 12 and under are free. Featuring the Wildlife Encounters on Saturday and Sunday. Sponsored by Kearney Area Builders Association. That's the Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd through 25th in Kearney.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
January 10th through the 17th, you can get what you really wanted for Christmas. A new-to-you boat from Buzz's Marine. Lots of great used boats are on display during Buzz's 35th annual used boat show, including deck boats, pontoons, sport boats, and fishing boats. You can even shop inside where it's warm. So stop in between the 10th and the 17th of January, and you will be amazed at the high-quality used boats available. View the entire inventory online at buzzesmarine.com or stop by Buzz's Marine at 507 Central Avenue in Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bush Cutter with you on this Wednesday. Hey, farmers, the 2015 irrigation season is fast approaching. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L, hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, plus the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons why more and more T&Ls are not only popping up around our area, but around the Midwest, the U.S., and over 60 countries worldwide. You can't do it without dependability, reliability, and having an outstanding product. Check it out with your local T&L dealer or visit their website at TLIRR.com to learn why T&L irrigation systems are like no other. Let's go back to the Detbopper inbox here and take a look at a few of our emails that have rolled in. This comes from Nate. He says, you guys said it best. If anyone questions Trev Alberts needing to be in the Hall of Fame, just watch that Orange Bowl game.
Yeah, one-armed. I mean, incredible, and he's playing it one-armed.
Tim Beck, we've got a few on these. Tells me Tim Beck had little control over play calling, because I mentioned yesterday, how Nebraska fan do you feel about Tim Beck taking over the offense of the national champions? Of the national champions. Urban Meyer knows a little something. He hired Tim Beck. So it tells me Tim had little control over the play calling so the defense could do more. It shows me that when Tim was calling the shots in the bowl game, we almost won the dang thing, and there was no Pelini to veto his play call. I think it's great for Tim, and it says nothing about me as a Husker fan. Let the Riley era begin, and let's just all be fans of Nebraska and not the coach.
I absolutely agree with that aspect. It's time. You said it earlier with UNO. It's time to let it go.
This whole Pelini holding Beck thing is a bunch of hooey. This comes from Dale in Hastings. I think it says that Beck wasn't the problem with the play calling. Bo was the problem. You think Bo was drawing up the offense, Husker fan? You really trying to sell me that? No.
I don't know. But I don't know. I don't know if Beck was given. Again, I don't know. I'm not saying it. But I don't know if Beck was allowed to do what he wanted to do offensively.
A lot of our listeners thinking the same thing, though. This comes from Bob. He says, in light of Beck's hiring at Ohio State and the performance of his offense in the Holiday Bowl, perhaps the head coach stifled him in his duties. I haven't heard the word stifle since All in the Family. Stifle it, Edith.
Stifle yourself, but Edith.
He was going to Ohio State before. Yeah, he didn't get hired for losing to USC in the national championship game.
No.
Or in the bowl game.
Yeah. But again, he probably interviewed well and has some ideas. I think it's very interesting that he gets, let's face it, Ohio State's program is better word than Nebraska's is right now. So he's getting an upgrade after getting fired.
This comes from Trent. He wants your observation on this, or mine, both. Have you noticed the trends of coaching hires in the NFL versus college? Rex Ryan, who's with the Bills now, Todd Bowles going to the Jets, and Jack Del Rio to the Raiders, all defense. Jim Harbaugh, Jim McElwain, Mike Riley in college, offensive guys. Seems as if college is emphasizing scoring more points and developing quarterbacks, and the NFL is trying to stop quarterbacks and hope they can draft Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson. What do you say? Well, what I say is, in the NFL, you can't go out and pick and choose your players. If you're a top program in college football, you can go have the best recruiting class. You can't do that in the NFL. You have to be able to slow teams down. I think it's easier to be an offensive team in college football than it is in the pro.
I absolutely agree with that because, again, a college football program, trust me, Ohio State isn't picking last in the draft. Ohio State, after winning the national championship, is going to get better and better recruits. So that's true. And I think there's kind of an ebb and flow to that. I don't know if that's always kind of the case. We can use Chicago, their last hire before, now they're trying to find another coach. They went offensive. Philadelphia went offensive. Your Cowboys, their last hire, they went offensive. You know, my Dolphins went offensive. So I think there's an ebb and kind of a flow that kind of goes with that. This year, though, he's right. Right now, most of the hires in the NFL this year are defensive. I think that's just a statistical anomaly.
The Football Writers Association of America has released their all-freshman team today. No surprise at the Huskers, DeMorne Personnel. This is a first team only. He is the punt returner on this team. The kick returner is out of Western Michigan. And That is the only Husker freshman on this team, but we have seen some Huskers on this team before. JT Barrett, quarterback, Ohio State. He is the quarterback. Got some. You've got some other kids from the Big Ten on the offensive line. Brian Allen, Michigan State. Mason Cole from Michigan. And as I scan this, Malik McDowell, defensive lineman from Michigan State, is on there as well, representing the conference. Got some interesting odds to look at. One that I floored is a little high.
Well, they're from the SEC, so they're better than ever.
Odds, there's odds on Bovada. We can talk about that. It's one of those non-Vegas sites where you can find a few more things to invest in. But they actually have the odds up for you can wager on who the starting quarterback will be in the first Ohio State game next year. I'll give those to you in a minute. But first, if you're headed out to lunch, don't miss the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. Chicken Coop every Wednesday, a great lunch special for you from 11 to 4 every day. Stop on in this afternoon and enjoy reduced prices on appetizers. Their happy hour from 2 to 5:30 on long necks, on draws as well. They've got a great menu to choose from. The Chicken Coop, try their wings. Maybe you've been trying everybody's. Maybe you haven't had theirs in a while. Maybe you've been trying the whole menu. Let's get back and have some wings.